Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What's this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Sit down quickly. Write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
No servant can be the slave of two masters, or you can't serve two masters. Jesus doesn't give a third alternative. There's only two paths, right? Two paths in life, the one that leads closer to Christ, the one that's a responsible steward, or the one that leads away from him. In fact, a few chapters earlier here in St. Luke's Gospel, because this is a theme that runs throughout, he put it like this, Jesus, "He who does not gather with me scatters." Right? In other words, we can't be morally neutral in life. Now, of course, it's our human nature to look to find if it's possible to satisfy God and get a little for ourselves, right? Is there a middle ground, right? Kids are masters at this. Well, what if, you know, I can do that and then? Or what if I just do it this way? Or what? And we're natural negotiators with the expectations, right? I remember one of my favorite vacations I made. This was with my brother and the youth group in high school. We took a canoe trip in Canada. So we all drove up. There's probably 8 or 10 of us. We drove up to Lake George in Canada, and we packed a cooler and our fishing rods. And I'm not much of a fisherman, but it sounded like an adventure, so I was up for it. Canoed across Lake George and then got into Black Fork River. And then we carried our canoe a few times further across the river where it was a little shallow and got way deep into. But it was very tiring. Obviously, you're carrying everything and you're paddling, and we were doing hours at a time, miles at a day. And so and by the second day, because we were going, you know, 4 or 5 days in, I was just too tired. And I was with my brother in the canoe, and so he was paddling in the back. And like every 6 hours, I just put my oar on the canoe and stop, you know. And then my brother eventually did the same. And as we sat there, we fell asleep. And we started going back down the river, right? Everybody else kept canoeing forward, right? We woke up, we realized. And as we're canoeing, my brother said, "Well, I guess if we don't keep paddling, we're only going backwards." And that stuck in my mind, that little phrase of my brother. He wasn't trying to be sage, I don't think. He was just stating the obvious, right? It's true. There's really only two options. Either morally, you're paddling in the truth, towards the truth, you're choosing and working and deciding, or our culture, your own flesh, kind of your life, tends to flow backwards, right? If you work out and do exercise, we all know You can be good at it, faithful to your diet for weeks, months at a time. As soon as you stop, the effects start to set in, right? So either we live selfishly, that's symbolized by Christ's reference to mammon, the material world, riches make them our God, or it's Jesus Christ. But he reminds us also that we don't make this choice just once. It's every day in small matters. He who's faithful in small matters will be faithful in great ones. And if you're dishonest or unfaithful or incomplete or leave it half done, you probably will do it in bigger matters. So Jesus is warning us we are just like the steward in the parable. We can't take what the master gave us and cut out something for ourselves. Steal from him, steal from what he gave us, or steal from those we're serving. We all risk squandering the gifts that God has given us, right? But in the meantime, we have a golden opportunity to put our lives and talents at the service of his kingdom, to receive these amazing gifts you've all received. The youngest to the oldest have great gifts God has entrusted to you that only you can multiply. Parents can't do it for you. Children can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it. It's only you. And that can sound lonely, or it can sound like, wow, what an opportunity. I really can do something. I can make an impact, right? I was this week talking to a lot of my nieces and nephews on the phone. Fortunately, my brother's wife lost her mother this week, so they were organizing the funeral. Unfortunately, I couldn't get back for it. But we were in touch a lot, and so the theme of Charlie Kirk came up with a lot of them. And I was asking them, what is it that, you know, was so impactful about him? Obviously, some of them are more fans, others a little less so, depending on where they're at. But one thing they all said in common was he wasn't on the fence. And then last night I did a wedding, and the night before we had the practice, and I went to the rehearsal dinner, and then we were all hanging out after the rehearsal dinner with all the bridal party, all 25 to 35-year-olds. And the same issue came up, same question came up. Some were debating both on different sides of different issues. But I did ask them, hey, what is it that you think made this person, Charlie, more of an impact than others? And they all said, he wasn't on the fence. It was clear. You either liked it or didn't, but it wasn't unclear. Cardinal Nolan even mentioned him this week, which I was surprised. You know, in an interview, he referenced, wow, he's like, I didn't know who this guy was. And I started reading, but impressive how he said, he referred to him as a modern St. Paul, which some people had an issue with, but anyhow, he was highlighting the radicality, the evangelistic, the being out there, the being where culture is happening, college campuses. He was admiring that element of him. And in a spirit, in debating college kids on hot button issues, etc. And I notice, and when I'm even in those situations, I'm sure you find yourself in the same, you wish you could have it both ways at times. Someone puts you in the corner and says, is it this or is it that? And you're like, ah, if I say that, then they're going to think this. You know, and you're always trying to, for the good of the person or maybe your own reputation, who knows, it's hard to say this is where I fall, right? We love to be on the fence. We love to put the oar and just take a break and hopefully it solves itself. In a spirit of compassion and understanding, we might be tempted to shy away from the uncomfortable truths and their moral implications. But certainly, you know, the example of Charlie Kirk, I think, certainly didn't. He didn't espouse, obviously, violence, but he certainly expressed his convictions with passion. And I had a friend of his out in Phoenix, a former seminarian who was out there working and knew him from the very beginning, collaborated a little bit with him. And he was volunteered at some of his early rallies, and he's like, there's nobody showing up. And then he said, as we talked this week, then there was like a lot of people who were disagreeing, and there was like a lot of those people. And then it started to shift, right? Just the consistency of being out there and dialoguing. Intellectually challenging, for sure. Sincere, I think. Challenging. The real radical decisions in big and small ways. And I think Jesus wants us to have that kind of an undivided heart to always row. There's only two options before us. You can't serve God and mammon. Undivided hearts, strength of soul, peace of mind, and only one master. One way to keep our hearts undivided is to remind ourselves of where we want our hearts to be, because our heart strays, right? I had a spiritual director who told me our heart is like a potato. You know, when you put a potato in earth, it just starts to sprout roots all over the place, right? As soon as you let your heart rest somewhere, it's going to grab on to whatever is there, right? Our heart is like that. So how can we keep it undivided and focused? Building reminders of where we want our heart to go. Visual reminders. This reminds me of Europe. How many of you have visited Europe, and as you're walking down those little towns, anywhere really, especially in Italy is where I had the most experience, but you saw it in Germany and other places, they would have these roadside images of Our Lady, statues on the corner, right? Little frescoes or little, you know, Della Robbias, or they'd have different little, you know, under the window, on the corner, on the building, etc. They were reminders when you got to the corner of the house at the direction where you could go right or left. Like, hey, what are you looking at? What's defining the choices you make? Constant reminders of, hey, this is where we're going and what we're shooting for. So my invitation to all of you, this will be related to your homework, is place those reminders around you. A rosary hanging from the rearview mirror, right? That's not just a decoration. It's there so you can easily access it, so you can pray your rosary in the car, right? Powerful reminder of who you are and how you drive, right? A small cross or crucifix on your desk, reminding yourselves why you work and who you work for, why you're responsible, why you don't cut corners, right? Maybe post-its in different places, maybe on your fridge, prayer cards, maybe a purpose, a little written down on a 3x5 card that you keep in your wallet or you keep in your coat, right? These are external reminders, reminders on your phone, when you're going to pray throughout the day. They're reminders that keep our heart and our mind focused. Hey, this is the choice I'm making. It's a way to make sure that we're following the Lord throughout the day, right? So this week, Jesus wants us to experience afresh the meaning that comes from serving and choosing him. So I invite you, erect some of those wayside chapels in your day, in your schedule, in your home, in your life, as a constant reminder of who you serve. Amen.